Welcome to another one of my podcasts, and today I'm covering off why LinkedIn should be seen as a sales tool in the professional service sector. I actually wrote this piece in the summer of 2018, which was off the back of a week-long debate, shall we say, between myself and a business development consultant who posted that LinkedIn was not a sales tool for professional services, i.e. lawyers and accountants, and it's a waste of time for individuals to invest their time and effort in the platform where their buyers don't use it, which is an interesting take, and everybody's entitled to their opinions, but I felt it upon myself that when somebody is fundamentally wrong, I needed to share my views. And I did this not only in a hashtag Ask Alex video, which as it stands has racked up close to 10,000 views, but also I wrote an article following up which has had well over 1,000 views on LinkedIn. So now I'm turning it into a podcast. I don't often talk about me because content should be about your reader and your audience, but I need to do that in this situation to kind of put some context. I led the first ever social selling program in the commercial real estate sector way back when in 2015 for Jones Lang LaSalle. It was leveraging LinkedIn, social media, and their premium sales tool, Sales Navigator. And it was with 150 fee earners across the UK market, working with colleagues in the US and Asia. We had 300 people globally. And LinkedIn had done case studies on me and so on and so forth. But in the first full 12 months of rolling this out, we generated 500,000 net new business and built a pipeline of 4.9 million, where the users said that without understanding LinkedIn, without understanding how to use LinkedIn in a different context, i.e. it's not just a recruitment tool, how to leverage social in a more effective way, we never would have started these business conversations, which led to these opportunities, which either turn into a win or turn into pipeline. And this is exactly what this is all about. This is 21st century lead generation. This isn't replacing the phone. This isn't replacing face-to-face meetings, but this is where your lead generation can come from. And you know, to the point where the head of serviced offices back then, Dan Brown, wrote his first ever article on LinkedIn. So just wrote a post on LinkedIn. And around this is what the serviced office team at JLL does, and this is how we can help. And this was picked up by an existing client. This was picked up by an existing client who said that I didn't even know that JLL had a serviced office department, which led to an opportunity, which led to a win, and that led to Dan's team being referred on to somebody else. So that one article, which probably took Dan half an hour of his time to write, and then was just shared organically amongst all of us. We just shared it out into our respective networks and no paid social. You know, we could tie £50,000 worth of business to that one LinkedIn article. I then went on to go and pitch to the UK board twice as to why the business should be investing in social and social selling as a program and a behaviour change. And this was actually around a £40,000 worth piece of business which we lost. So it's unusual to pitch to a board on a position where you actually lost it. But again, this is all about opportunity creation. This is all about lead generation. And I was working with the team and they were going to walk away from a particular business opportunity because we didn't know them and they were another client, or they were serviced by another, they had another service provider. And I went onto LinkedIn, saw that the then European chief exec had a connection to a senior partner at this hedge fund, which got us to a meeting, which got us into a pitch situation, which ultimately we lost. But the point is that if I hadn't bothered checking just to understand what the network was beyond what we thought we knew, we would have walked away from an opportunity which turned into a pitch. The fact that we lost has got nothing to do with that relationship or social. That's to do with the pitch and the sales process. And again, I was challenged by the board in terms of, well, you get this, Alex. You know, the business, what happens if the business doesn't? The business may be less savvy in terms of how to use LinkedIn. And my argument back was, well, how many other £40,000 worth of business are we leaving on the table because, I quote, we don't know them, when, you know, we've got 50,000 people on LinkedIn, and back then I think there were 575 million. If that 550 million people on LinkedIn, there are now 600 million and growing. how many other £40,000 worth of business are we leaving on the table because we don't know? And if I can take these 150 individuals through this program, 150 times 40,000 is £6 million. And that's £6 million worth of opportunity. And that's them just finding one more opportunity over a 12-month period through one more relationship, one more connection. You know, how is investing in this not a good thing to do? So I was very fortunate to be supported by the board, and this is what we did. And as I said, that led to 4.9 million pipe and half a million net new business booked. But if we kind of fast forward today, if we look at where we are in the world, there is now over 4 billion people have got access to the internet. That's over half the world. Almost 3.4 billion people are now active on social, and over 5 billion people globally now have a mobile phone. So that's 67% penetration. And of those, 3 billion access social on mobile. So you can't deny that social as a channel is here and it's here to stay. It doesn't matter what industry you are in. If we go through to what 2018 went through, we had the whole Cambridge Analytica issues, we had GDPR, PECRs coming in 2019, 2020. If you're not aware of PECR, it's the Private Electronic Communication Regulation, was supposed to run in parallel to GDPR. GDPR is focused on how we process data. PECR is focusing very much on how you communicate on the one-to-one basis. I suggest talking to your marketing teams to understand what they're doing about that and how they're preparing for it. The world is changing. The world is changing rapidly. Professional services is actually the perfect model for social and social selling, because it is a people by people industry. You're not selling products, you're selling service, and that service is knowledge. And where do people go to find knowledge? They go online, but they are buying your intelligence, they're buying your expertise, they're buying your insight. They're not buying a phone or a computer or a laptop. And in professional service space, you are advising on high value, complex transactions. Your clients are putting the utmost faith in your expertise and knowledge within the subject matter in question. You are the subject matter expert, and in order to become a subject matter expert, this takes time. This takes time to build up that knowledge. It takes time to build up the relationship, and it takes time to build up trust. And the great thing is, you can actually use social to do this. And the latest insights, or I say sixth insight from Miller Hyman, Chief Sales Officer Insights, which came out towards the end of last year, their research is now showing that buyer preferred resources used to solve business problems coming out at almost 50%, so 43%, but they want to talk to subject matter experts. They want to talk to subject matter experts, which again, in the professional service space, is you. It's the lawyers, the accountants, it's the vets. This is who they want to talk to, the people that are ultimately going to help them solve their business needs. However, the challenge is that within the professional service space, is that LinkedIn is perceived as a tool. If I'm on LinkedIn, I'm looking for a job, or my market isn't on there, or everybody already knows me who needs to know me. I've got 5 years left on the clock as a partner. Why would I bother investing my equity into something I'm not necessarily going to see a return on in terms of the wider business or the younger firm coming through below me, whatever it might be? That, I'm afraid, in the 21st century, is just not a good enough excuse anymore, and I'll go into the reason as to why that is. But the things that one has to consider as a subject matter expert is that when people meet you for the first time in a face-to-face environment, you then have the opportunity to talk about why you. And that could have come from a recommendation, it could have come from any varying sources, they could have seen you speak at an event, whatever it might be. But when you meet somebody for the first time, first impressions count. You've got the opportunity to get across your personality, your insight, which makes you unique. And that's the key thing here, is that in the people by people world, and when people by people, every single one of us is unique, and that is a good thing. You are unique. Your view, your take, your expertise is unique to the other peers in your sector or your market or your practice out there. So the fact that you work for any of the major brands or even a smaller brand out there is kind of irrelevant, because that's a tick box that, well, you must be good at what you do, otherwise this organization wouldn't employ you. Now I want to understand what makes you different from everybody else who at a corporate level is saying exactly the same thing. And, you know, to paraphrase the Swiss futurist Gerd Leonhard, you know, he says, and this is from a book back in 2016, is that which cannot be digitized or automated will become extremely valuable. I.e., in other words, you. This is the human-only aspects, the human-only trait, that which makes you, you. But more and more of our first conversations, or more and more of these first meetings, are now starting to happen online. They're happening on LinkedIn, or people are just Googling. You know, Google Alexander Lowe's social selling expert. What do they, you know, what do they find? I need to make sure that they find lots of content, lots of information, lots of insight, which backs up and supports any recommendations that are made of me, that I am as good as people say I am, and then here's the validation to find it. So if we just stick with LinkedIn in this case, because this is where this focus is at, you know, too often do I see profiles where there's no photo, there's a blank blue image at the top, the background image. You're all owners of the firm, you know, which is worse than being a partner. Yeah, I get it. You are kind of self-employed. You do own the firm, but you don't own the firm per se. And then there's nothing there. There's no connections. There's no insight. There's nothing in terms of why you do what you do. There's nothing in terms of what you do. There's nothing. It's literally just a title, which makes it owner or partner, and that's it. And, you know, why is this important? Well, because LinkedIn is searchable. LinkedIn is searchable on Google. And when you Google your, you know, your name, LinkedIn now typically is one of the first things that comes up. So if you've got nothing on there, then, you know, how is that going to help anybody make any decent decision about whether you're actually any good at what you do or who else you are connected to within their network, which they trust, which then helps elevate that insight they have on whether you are somebody that they should be talking to. You need to consider your profile to be that kind of that digital first impression. So, you know, to make this easier, if you're, you know, when you're back at your desk, you know, Matthew Appleton, who is a partner at Allen Overy, I suggest you look at his profile as an example of what good can look like. You'll note he's got a good corporate profile photo. He's got a background hero image. His title, which is the name, the headline underneath your name, is enabling businesses to evolve through M&A. He hasn't got a partner, because this is your digital handshake. This is what makes you you. This is what makes you stand, you know, stand out. Yes, I know that can be a step too far, or quite a big step for some individuals in the professional service space. But if you've got your, if you've got partner, at least have partner corporate life sciences, or partner tax retail, or partner IP. Finance, whatever it might be, tell the individuals what you do. Don't just be another partner or another senior associate or junior associate or senior manager, whatever, on LinkedIn. Actually tell them what you do. Then in your summary, this is the why you do what you do. So this isn't me, me, me. This is around why you do what you do, why you've devoted your career to law, accounting, consulting, and whatever it might be. Then have a call to action. Connect with me, email me, call me. Let's continue the conversation. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to move the conversation from online to offline as quickly as we can. We want to get this into a face-to-face conversation or a phone conversation as quickly as you can. So make it as easy as possible for people to do that. If you're in the accounting space, you can look at Ross Ashbourne from EY. Kind of similar, you know, similar approach. We then start to look at, you know, research from Green Target, and you know, Green Target in 2017, which is focusing on in-house counsel in the US, you know, they were showing that LinkedIn is the second most trusted source of credibility in terms of industry news and information behind traditional media. Then it looks at blogs, and then and so on, and we go into 2018 research, and unsurprisingly, again, it's focusing on in-house counsel, but single biggest source of helping them hire external counsel is recommendations. And they look at bios on the firm's website, then they look at articles and speeches authored by lawyers, then they look at blogs published by lawyers, then they go over 50%, actually it's 62%, are saying, oh, it's important to very important, they look at LinkedIn profiles. Not only are they looking at your LinkedIn profiles, They're looking at your connections and endorsements. Who else are you connected to? They are now looking to see what content lawyers are sharing on social. And we're starting to see directories, peer-driven rankings fall by the wayside. You know, these are becoming less important in terms of the overall decision-making process for certainly lawyers when it comes to, in-house counsel when it comes to making their external hire. Then we come into the network. So point two, so we understand the personal brand, then we come into the network. So if we roll back 20 years ago, 10 years even, networking was built on attending events, breakfast, seminars, take a business card, whack it in your Rolodex, ask your PA to put it into interaction or whatever CRM system it was, and forget about it. Then they might get put onto an email list and then they get blitzed. You then pick up the phone, you get meetings and go from there. You know, deals were done on the golf course, they were done in the bars and more. And you built trust over time. Maybe you see a news article, you put it in the post, or you see an interesting, item in a magazine, whatever it might be. And, I saw this, you might send it through to a fax, you might find this this useful. Helping them navigate the complexities of legal or accounting issues. If we fast forward today, dare I say, at the inbound, so the phones are not ringing as much as they used to, if at all. And we have, the good thing about the world of the internet and social is you go online, you can now ask Google, you can now ask Cortana, you can ask Siri without even typing, what do I do, where do I, who do I find? This is what we're trying to, to do is make sure that when people are searching, they're finding not only the big brand stuff, but they are finding you as the individuals, and how are you standing out but over and above everybody else, as I've said, where at a corporate level you are all saying the same thing. And if you're in the professional service space and you're not following Lee Grunnell, Grunnell, I suggest you do, because he writes some really interesting branding stuff from a corporate perspective. It's basically how all accountants and lawyers are typically just, you're all the same. When we look at everybody's websites, you're all saying the same thing. We then take into consideration the challenger sale model from Gartner, which is showing that typically 57% of the due diligence process is completed before somebody will engage with a new vendor of services or products. This doesn't mean, hi, I'm now ready to instruct you on a multi-million pound deal. It's, hi, I've now done enough of my research on you that I want to have a conversation. And the point of this is, how do you influence that due diligence process? So they're selecting you in rather than selecting you out before you even had a chance to have a conversation with them, based on what they can or cannot find, as it were. And this goes to the point in terms of how business development and marketing now need to work differently, work more effectively with fee earners to help them kind of drive this. But the current model of marketing is no longer working, or marketing as in you're marketing to, and actually mean you're selling to or business development to. And for those of you that sat in any of my presentations, you'll know that I share this post, which came into my network organically from the head of legal of Novartis, John Kuckelman. And I will read what he wrote on LinkedIn publicly. I am puzzled by how many law firms, legal service firms, consulting firms, etc., have a practice of placing a prospective client's name and email address into their marketing database and then sending the person pure marketing emails or pure marketing emails that are dressed up as some sort of issue brief every single day or even multiple times per day. I'm guessing there are marketing professionals who advise that this is best practice. I would suggest not doing this. If you are going to send existing or prospective clients emails, you should do so in moderation. There should actually be substance and value in the email. And that's that final couple of words, substance and value. The market is now saying that this is not good enough. Don't just send me something for the sake of sending something. Actually, it needs to change the way I view things. It needs to make me think differently about business. And, email is in an interesting place because, yes, it's still relevant, but I think it's becoming less relevant from a marketing, from a marketing channel. One law firm that I'm working with at the moment, we were able to extrapolate on one particular practice group. They were sending 2,000 emails per campaign. Of that, only 1,000 were getting through because the 1,000 email addresses were wrong. Of the 1,000 that were actually getting through, only 300 were being opened. And of the 300 that were being opened, only 100 people were actually doing anything, i.e. clicking on the link or downloading or whatever it might be. And they were doing this every single month. Every single month, they were emailing the same people. And you imagine that you are, the head of legal or whoever it might be, doesn't matter what senior position, you're getting firstname.surname@lawfirm.com or accountingfirm.com bombarding your inbox. You don't even know these people, or you know, it's not relevant, you're super busy, and you know, this happens to ourselves in our own lives, and you know, we get annoyed when we get bombarded with marketing emails, and even the spam filter lets it get through. But let's say it does get through, then what's going to happen is actually that individual is just going to get annoyed with the brand at lawfirm.com, at accountingfirm.com. They're just going to get annoyed with that brand. So the next time somebody recommends that person from said brand to them, their immediate reaction is, oh, you just fill my inbox with, you know, irrelevant stuff. Which is why we talk about selling through your network and not to your network. This is why you need to be connected to people. You need to be connected to your client base, chief execs, CFOs, IT directors, HR directors, finance directors, general counsel, whomever it might be. They are connected to their like-minded tribes. They are connected to other like-minded people. So the whole point is, this is about selling through the network of the network of the network. So when you connect to general counsel, when you connect to a finance director, when you connect to an HR director, an IT director, transformation director, whoever it might be, it doesn't matter. There are 600 million people on LinkedIn now and growing. When they like, share, or comment on your content, on your story, that moves into the network of the network. And this is what we want to do. You want to move your brand as far away from you as possible. And by brand, I mean you, your personal brand, that which makes you unique. We want to move you as far away from you as possible into the network of the into the network of the network. The way that you can, you know, start to work this out. So when you're in LinkedIn, just type in the word finance director or general counsel or CEO in the search function. Choose people and then choose second, as in second degree, and then just see how close you actually are to somebody within your network. So second degree means somebody in your network can introduce you to that someone. But more, what that also means is then they are only one like, one click, one share away from seeing your content. And this is what we need to be doing. This is how we need to be connecting. You know, moving forwards, every single business meeting that you go to, don't say thank you through email, say thank you through LinkedIn and connect. Because even if that doesn't turn into a business opportunity tomorrow, it could be in 6 months, it could be in 12 months. You can use social to remain front of mind. But not only that, you are now in the network of the network. So you can start to leverage their network and so on. The larger and more relevant your network becomes, the bigger opportunity or the pool of opportunity you have to sell through. You're not selling to, you're selling through. So, you know, we now understand the concept that when somebody meets you online for the first time, are they meeting you or are they meeting another lawyer or another accountant on social? Now understand the importance of your network. You've got to be connecting, because without a decent network, this is all for nothing. But how do we all bring this to life? And this is how we bring this to life is through content. And the professional service space creates so much content. I mean, content's not an issue in terms of almost too much corporate content out there that's not shared in a contextual, meaningful way. Because what we're trying to get to, where we're trying to get to, is I saw that, I read that, somebody recommended I have a conversation to you. And that's through story. That is, we're trying to get the phones. If the phones aren't ringing anymore, we want to get the connection requests coming in. We want to get that company. That is the digital inbound opportunity that we're trying to create. I saw that, I read that, somebody recommend I have a conversation with you. So it's content. This is absolutely critical, but it's content with context. This could be long form blogs, short form blogs, Passel's a great publishing tool, videos, podcasts, whatever it might be, across any social platform. That's the great thing about digital content. You can share this across multiple platforms: LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Insta, Snap, you know, Handshake, WeChat, wherever, you know, whatever the next thing might well be. Because then we can start to use data. You can start to use data to understand what your audience is doing, and this is intent data. So intent data is any action taken by a lead that signals to the marketer who to focus on, when and with what messaging. Whenever a customer takes web actions, i.e. reads articles, fills out a form, visits a web page, responds to a campaign, email clicks, or conducts research, posts on social media, comment articles, they are telling us what they need. So here's a challenge for anybody that's listening to this. Go to your marketing team the next time you've got a client meeting, and sit down with them, or ask them, or your BD team, or whoever, and say, right, I'm going to meet, I don't know, Barclays Bank, or Salesforce, Microsoft, doesn't matter, whoever it is. ask them, how many times has this organization visited our website in the last 3 months? What pages have they looked at? Are they on an email list? What if they aren't in an email list, did they unsubscribe? You know, where are they at? Because if they're visiting particular pages on your corporate site, what are they? Why would they be doing that? They're doing research. If you understand this, if you know they're visiting particular pages on your website, they're doing research, then you know where they're potentially at that in the buying cycle, back to that normal 57%. But more to the point, if they're not visiting your website, if they're not coming to your pages, your corporate buyers, your articles, your downloads, then there's a problem. There's one or two things. It's either because they can't find it because no one's talking about it, or it's because the content's not good enough and they're not interested. But LinkedIn also gives you an element of this for free. You can look at profile views. You can look at people who, you can get the stats on people who have shared your posts. You can get all this type of stuff. And again, if the wrong people are looking at your profile, if you're not getting any views, if you're not getting any shares or comments, it's one or two things. Your network's not relevant, you're not activating, or the content just isn't good enough. And the content's not relevant to the audience that you're talking to. And the great thing, again, is, you know, in terms of today, is that the technology exists to enable you to understand this. There's something called social listening, which is exactly what it does on the tin. It listens to what's happening on social. You can do this across any social platform apart from LinkedIn, because LinkedIn's privacy policy doesn't allow this. But again, go to your marketing team and ask them, what social listening capability do we have? Because the way the social listening works is you can type in any hashtag, any keyword, anything you want, and the system, this technology, will start to listen online. It'll start to listen to who's talking about whatever it might be, even your own name. If you're a partner, if you're a fee owner or something, you could ask them to track your own name to see who's talking about you or where you're popping up and so on and so forth. And this is certainly technology that I use. I use a Microsoft platform called Microsoft Social Engagement, which sits within their CRM platform. And I use it to track not only myself, but track, you know, hot topics. So social media marketing, social selling, digital selling. I track who's talking about stuff. So I then will listen to who's talking about stuff, and then I will engage with those people accordingly. And this is moving the whole kind of marketing and business development relationship into a completely new era and new way. Is that, you know, technology actually is out there to help you understand what your audience wants to listen to, what or is talking about, rather than actually making assumptions that, well, we're going to tell them this because I want to get this out there. You need to be present in social. You have to be present online 24/7. You know, social is not a static 9-to-5 thing. It's a living, breathing 24/7, 365 ecosystem. So it's there. You can have, you know, 1, 10, 100, 500, 1,000, you know, meetings a week if you want, just by having a good brand, a good network, and good content. You can get out there. You can have these meetings. I saw that, I read that, somebody recommend I have, you know, have a conversation with you. And if one of those 100, 1,000 views, likes, shares, comments, whatever it is, turns into one more business opportunity, that is what we are trying to, you know, that is what we're trying to achieve here. But this won't happen if you're not on social. This absolutely will not happen if you're not using content. You have to bring this to life. You have to get out of the way of yourself. You have to change your view, your mindset. If you're familiar with Carol Dweck and mindset theory, growth mindset versus fixed mindset, you've got to get out of this kind of fixed mindset mentality that you feel is maybe challenging your own belief system in terms of, but this is the way I've always done things. Okay, well, that worked 20 years ago, worked for 10 years ago. Maybe it worked 5 years ago. It's not working today. But more importantly, for the younger generation of fee earner professional coming through, this is how you are going to build your book of business. This is how you're going to build your practice groups. You have to get out there and leverage social. And the great thing is that, you know, this is why professional services is such a perfect incubator, a perfect market for social, and leveraging social to drive business conversation, because it's knowledge, it's sharing insight, it's sharing expertise. And where do we go to find that? We go to Google, which is the first thing we do. We search online for knowledge. But not only that, you know, professional service organizations have massive networks. You know, the great thing is that all your fee earners, kind of, you're all salespeople, you're all fearless, so everybody should be connecting with each other internally. Everybody should be sharing their networks to help, you know, leverage the network of the network. And, you know, if I look at some of the, you know, the, not some, if I look at the big four, Their networks range from 160,000 to almost a quarter of a million people on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn alone, let alone the wider piece. You know, there's no excuse for anybody in those firms not to get to somebody through the networks of that size. Absolutely zero excuse. But unfortunately, at the moment, you know, the mindset isn't there yet, but it's getting there. And you know, this is ultimately why Microsoft paid $26 billion for LinkedIn 3 years ago now, and why Salesforce tried to veto it in the European court through you know, competition rules. It wasn't competition rules, it's because transpired Salesforce offered more money in cash, but they wanted the most up-to-date CRM system on the planet, which is LinkedIn. So Microsoft now have that data, and they're starting to blend that data into wider Microsoft applications, which we pretty much all use. But it was more the fact that, you know, relationship is capital. Relationships are absolutely critical. We kind of come full circle back from price and products. You know, relationships are what count first. But more and more of these relationships, all the conversations now starting to happen online. So you absolutely have to be leveraging your brand, your network, and content in terms of driving and starting that conversation. And this is, organizations are only just scratching the surface. You know, partners are now starting to come through. And what's interesting for me in this is actually I'm being approached by more and more young partners. And what I mean by young partners, they've just made partner or they've been partner for a couple of years, and they realize the world is changing. They realize that marketing and BD is not what it used to be. There's a challenge internally in terms of, you know, is marketing and BD fit for purpose for today? And having been 15 years on that side of the table, I feel I'm in my rights to say this. And I think, no, it's not. I think there needs to be some broad brushstroke change. I think there's to be change in approach, but also there needs to be change in behavior from the partnership, because the marketing and BD function is a victim of the culture that has been created by this kind of service reactive-led approach, rather than kind of empowering BD and marketing to do what they should be doing. But this is for another blog post. So if you are not considering LinkedIn as part of your business development and marketing arsenal, then you are missing out on a massive opportunity. And you know, working with firms that are already seeing success. And I worked with one partner at a firm where he changed his profile within 48 hours of changing the profile to get relevant keywords in. He had somebody get in touch with them, and they cited two specific keywords that we put into his profile which didn't exist before because he'd appeared in a search. That then, he then has to turn that into opportunity. This is the whole point. I saw that, I read that. Somebody recommend I have a conversation with you. It is up to you to get that conversation from online to offline, face to face, as quickly as you are able. Then it comes down to your BD and sales capabilities to turn that into business. If you can't turn that into business, social hasn't failed. The business development, the sales and marketing side of things has failed. So, you know, for 2019, as a practice group, as teams, as individuals, if you're not considering LinkedIn and social as part of your BD and marketing strategy, you absolutely have to. Because if you're not, versus those that are, you will start to lose opportunity. As ever, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to me. Please do feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Otherwise, have a great day.